You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. 10 long years of celebrities and the rest of us living messy lives with, hopefully, a real God in the middle of it all.
Well, this guy's been on our show before. Very rarely will I go back to someone as quickly as I have with Jay Baker. But Jay is a co-pastor of Revolution NYC. He's a gay rights activist and winner of the 2012 PFLAG Straight for Equality in Faith Communities Award. He is a grace enthusiast, a dyslexic introverted pessimist, and a prisoner of hope. I'm going to say he's also an autodidactic iconoclast. What do you think, Jay?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't, you write the back of the book.
I don't know what that means, but that's what you are.
Thank you, sir.
Jay's previous books include Son of a Preacher Man and Fall to Grace, A Revolution of God, Self, and Society. His latest book, though, is called Faith, Doubt, and Other Lines I've Crossed, Walking with the Unknown God. By the way, Jay lives in Brooklyn, yo. Dude! Okay, so first of all, can I just talk about me first? Do you mind?
Please, it would be easier for me if you did.
So a few years ago, my regular listeners are going to go, oh my goodness, here it goes again. But a few years ago, I was interviewing Rabbi Zacharias, and I was ambushed by doubt. I was thinking about all my old apologetic days, and I said to Ravi, you know, I'm no longer convinced, 100% convinced that there's a God. And man, my phone lit up, my texting thing went off, and it just went. And so then I had a summer break to think about all this and whether I could even come back and continue to do this show.
Yeah.
And I decided to come back and dive right into it like I would normally do. And we did a little thing called Droogle, which is Drew's Search for God. And I interviewed a whole bunch of different people, smart people, famous people, whatever, and asked them, you know, how they believe. Why do they believe? You know, have they ever encountered a tangible relational experience with God? Because I haven't, man. For 30 years of following, pathetically, trying to do the Jesus thing, I'm living off of circumstantial evidence here, man. You know, Pascal's wager.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are living off Pascal's wager.
So I don't know, for me to hear the stuff that you're writing about now, it gives me a little tickle in my special place.
Well, yeah. Speaking of little tickles, Pete Rollins kind of helped me on my road to doubt. I was dealing with the same thing as I was, you know, pastoring a church, and all of a sudden I wasn't sure if I believed anymore, and I just sit in front of my congregation and say, listen, I'm not sure I believe anymore, and I'm wondering if you guys can handle this. And I'm lucky enough to have a congregation of folks that said, we'll stick with you through it.
That's very Mike Iaconelli of you.
Yeah, I don't know if that, yeah, I think Mike Iaconelli wasn't sure if that story was true or not, but now I think he was just prophesying my story. Mike Iaconelli prophet.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, to have a congregation that's, you know, for you to, first of all, to be able to stand up there and say, you know what, man, I'm standing on shaky ground here, to quote Kaiser Mansfield. And I don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I can keep standing up here trying to, encourage y'all and cheer y'all on. So what do you want me to do? And for the congregation to go, you know, you should stay and you should work through this with us. Dude, that's what it should be, man.
Yeah, it's really special. And I've been lucky enough to be able to, you know, I really try to be as transparent with my congregation as possible. There's this Abbott Brothers song, and one of the lines is like, you know, the worst thing you can do is draw a hungry crowd and not be honest, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And I found that it's very important to be as honest as possible, because otherwise I feel like I'm giving them false expectations of salvation. And so I believe that was doubt at the time. I mean, you know, I would even say at the time I was close to atheism, if not there. And it was just one of those things where you're like, how has it happened to me? And what happened was is when I let go and I said, all right, I'm going to accept this, and my congregation said, well, we can handle this for now. And it was like I stepped over this giant chasm of my biggest fear, which is, you know, losing my faith. And realized that it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. And then that's when doubt came into play. Actually, doubt was a level up from where I was. And it freed me to allow me to know that doubting was okay. Paul Tillich talked about, you know, doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's merely a, what does he say? It's merely a part of faith.
Yeah.
And I was able to really embrace that at that time. And it has made God for me greater and bigger. And at the same time, not, you know, if God exists or doesn't exist, you know, really isn't the biggest concern for me anymore. The biggest concern is that that Christ is what illuminates my life. You know, living the life of trying to follow Christ is kind of like what illuminates life for me. It's kind of like the ground of my ground of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rollins has been good for me as well. Pete is, you know, he's a fantastic guy. He's a deconstructionist at its best, and a brain destroyer at its worst. you know, I remember he was speaking at the upper level of a pub one time, and somebody said, well, he was speaking at a conference, and somebody said, "Hey, you should come. This guy's awesome. You'd really love him." I said, "What's it? Oh, it's at a big you know, Christian conference." I said, "I'm not going. I can't do those things anymore." Well, he's speaking at a pub afterwards. I said, sign me up. So went to this thing, sat down, a couple of pints in, he's rattling on, and I was half amening and half flipping in the bird because he was he was just wrecking my brain. So I finally threw up my hand and said, and he acknowledged me, and he said, "Yes, sir, you have a question?" I said, "Yeah, I call BS," although I didn't say the letters. And ever since then, it's been a fun conversation with Pete, you know. But there's a lot of people out there that are good for our tribe that our tribe has not been good at letting in. I mean, even Ian Morgan Cron wrote this book, Chasing Francis, A Pilgrim's Tale, about a, you know, megachurch pastor who kind of almost is ready to flip it all, right? And now your book, Faith, Doubt, and Other Lines I've Crossed. But, Jay, when people think of you, you know, Jay Baker, ooh, doubting there's a God, you know, I would imagine most people would sit there and say, well, heck yeah. I mean, look at the crap he had to go through growing up. No wonder he's doubting all this stuff. How do you respond to that?
I also grew up in the Assemblies of God. And in the States, that's, you know, they don't leave a whole lot of room for doubt.
No.
I mean, you lose your salvation if you sneeze too hard. So for me, doubt really wasn't an option. But even when because I did more stuff like run from God when I was younger, you know, I was like, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell, or maybe I'll be lucky enough to have a deathbed experience. I don't doubt God because of what my family went through, or any of that stuff. I mean, that's just life. That's what happens in life. Life is tough. Life is hard. You know, my mom died of cancer, and, that's tough, too. It's just the idea of, you know, you haven't had a tangible experience. You know, people using the Bible to prove the Bible. You know, when you start to study the history of the Bible and the history of the canon and realize how unclear it is and that there are mistakes in the Bible. And people don't want to hear that, and they're so afraid of that. And I've just found that being allowed to doubt has freed me from a lot of that stuff. And I hope I can kind of convince other people that it's okay to doubt, because they already are doubting, but they don't have to fear it as much. Because there was no doubt allowed, it wouldn't be called faith. I mean, faith has doubt built into it. Hope, you know, has doubt built into it.
Yeah.
I can go as far as saying love has doubt built into it. So doubt is like this common thread between the three things that will remain, faith, hope, and love. You know, I think it keeps us from arrogance. It keeps us from being too extreme. It keeps us from being, I think it helps us stay away from fundamentalists, being fundamentalists.
Yeah. Yeah. From turning into a Fred Phelps.
Yeah.
The language that changes in your journey, that's the one part I really resonate with, Jay, is, you know, I've had to de-certainize my language. People say, do you believe in a God? And I say, I don't know. I just hope there is one. You know, can you relate to that?
Oh, I totally relate to that. And and I think, as sure as you know, it's hard. The hardest thing is when you say that around other believers.
Oh, yeah.
They really have a hard time with it. But I think it's, too, because doubt, much like grace, takes a whole lot of courage. You know, because grace is nothing you do. doubt takes courage because it doesn't need the safety of an unquestionable conviction or faith.
Hmm.
You know, when you have that safety around you, and grace says, you can't do it, I do it, and doubt says, maybe nobody did it.
yeah.
You know? And so you're kind of having this courage to live in there. And, you know, and so I get Christians come from one side, and then I get my atheist and agnostic friends that are saying, well, why don't you just give it up? And I go, like, I can't.
Yeah.
Because there is something there.
But hold on. But, Jay, do you think that you're still hanging on to faith? Because I've had to, rattle this one around my brain a few times. Do you think you're still hanging on to the faith stuff because you growed up in it, because it's been part of your life for so long, because or because you're too chicken to just let it all go? I mean, that's a huge paradigm shift to chuck faith. So maybe you don't have the testicular fortitude to be able to just let her go. Maybe you're just a
you're
wuss.
Lucky I'm not there, buddy. You're lucky I'm not there. Serving up knuckle sandwiches. You might be right, but for me, I'm so moved by grace and the idea of grace and unmerited favor. And Christianity to me is when I think about someone telling me to love my enemies as myself and turn the other cheek, and I think about Jesus living in an occupied territory when he's saying this, having zealots and tax collectors with him at the same time, prodigal son. You know, if this was stuff that was trained in my brain and I've over time reimagined it and it's become such good news, well, then I'm fine with that. And that's the idea of allowing doubt in your life, is saying, this might not be true, but I don't want to give it up. You know, do I not have the balls to, I'm sorry.
No.
Let me edit that out.
No, that's fine.
Do I not have the testicles to,
yes.
Let's just drive it into the ground. you know, that's another thing in another day. But, you know, I think the church needs healing. I have a heart for the church. I want to see the church become a safer place. I want to see LGBTQ people have equal rights in the church. I want to see women have equal rights in the church.
But, Jay.
And I think this Jesus guy's onto something.
Jay, man, the reason you're all getting liberal and everything is because, you know, you've got some gay friends, and you can't keep believing that book that's infallible, because that book's got some condemning gay language in there. And so you've now jumped the fence, and you have to say, you know, that there's things wrong in the Bible, and you can't, you know, it's not really, you know.
I honestly think you can be a literalist and be gay affirming with the Bible. If you understand the Bible and its literal actual language and the times and the customs and even the laws of especially Rome at the time, I still believe you could be a literalist and be gay affirming. Because that's how I started looking at it from my Assemblies of God background, with word studies and history and context. So it really bugs me when I hear people like Borg and stuff be like, you can't be a literalist and approve of gay people. And I'm going, I completely disagree.
But Jay, look, I mean, if that's okay, whatever I said before is wrong, how about this one? You know, you just want to be able to rationalize and justify, you know, some actions, some sins in your own life, and you're tired of you know, you got to choose. You either continue to beat yourself up for the stupid things you do, or you go, hey, God loves me and it's okay.
Right. Well, I'm not gay, fortunately or unfortunately. being the son of Tammy Faye, it probably would have been very fortunate had I been born gay. But,
you are such a weirdo. I love you.
So the idea is for me, these things are, you know, sin is a different beast for me, and I understand it differently. I don't see it like I used to. You know, I mean, I want to see people to be able to be, you know, I mean, letting people get married is saying, hey, we're going to let you live together long enough that you're bored together and you stop having sex. You know what I mean? It's like, that's okay. That should be okay. We should allow people to make those decisions. I think we've created another type of sin. We've Americanized it or Canadianized it, as I'm talking to you guys.
Mm. Thanks, eh?
Canadian sin's a lot more friendly. well, it's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
But, you know, so, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's not about justifying sin. To me, it's about falling in love with Jesus and asking different questions. And, you know, because I believe that life is set up with cause and effect, and that, you know, it's like physical law. like sin is more of a physical law for me. You know, like I do something bad and I'm punished by the action. I'm not punished for my sins. I'm punished by my sins.
Yeah, like if you do something long enough, you go blind, kind of a thing.
Right.
Right. I very rarely do this because this is just weird, but I actually like your chapter titles and I actually want people to get this book. So let me just do this. Chapter one. Oh, here are the chapter titles. I'm not going to name them all. Walking with the unknown God, doubting faith, reading the Bible differently, dying and rising with Christ, recasting eternity, rediscovering grace, speaking up for the marginalized, seeking the lost, opening up the church doors, becoming the outcast, hoping in the unseen. By the way, that becoming the outcast chapter, that was a good one for me.
Losing
belief, finding faith. Jay Baker. The book is called Faith, Doubt, and Other Lines I've Crossed, Walking with the Unknown God. A buddy of mine that I reference a lot in these kind of conversations, his line that I've stolen is that doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty. And he wrote a book called The Myth of Certainty, Dan Taylor. Great book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
I love it.
Hey, listen, if you ever get your ugly butt up here to Canada, to Toronto, not to Vancouver and the mountains and the ocean and everything, just to Toronto, first couple of pints are on me. Okay.
Well, I'm an alcoholic, so you'll have to buy me my pints of Diet Coke. But yes, definitely.
All right. I'll do that. I'll cover that.
I'll let you drink. And I'll drive you home.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Jay Baker on the Drew Marshall Show. Get the book, folks. The guy's a thinker. Let me just say that. Appreciate your time, man.
Well, thank you.
See you, Jay. Bye-bye.
Seven out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, the Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.